It's time now for Gina Gardner and Friends, the show that shares stories from inspiring people, from a wide range of expert guests, all focused on helping you live a happier, more successful, and fulfilling life. Gina Gardner is a multiple number one international best-selling author, motivational speaker, business coach, and trainer. She's the founder of Genuinely You and has over 30 years' experience of helping people step into their genuine, authentic power, personally and professionally.
Matthew.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
And now, here's your host, Gina Gardner.
Hello there, and a huge welcome to Gina Gardner and Friends. I'm joined today by Frank Zaccari. Now, he's an old friend, a long-standing friend rather than an old friend. And he is just the most amazing man. He's a business advisor, a professional problem solver, a TV host, a 4 times best-selling award-winning author, a speaker, and he leads the marketing and promotion programs for aspiring authors. And I'm absolutely thrilled that he's joined me today on the show. Frank, thank you for joining me. It's wonderful to see you again.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Oh, thank you. We're going to be talking about getting unstuck. And I think there are many people at the moment who are feeling incredibly stuck because of what's going on, the economy, trying to get back to some sort of normality and so on. But before we go any further, just give us a potted history of how you've come to get this far and do what you're doing.
It's been quite a traveling show. So I grew up in Western New York in the Buffalo area, and I didn't want to work in steel. And I had to get out of there. However, all right, my lottery number during the military draft was 19, or no, excuse me, it was number 10, number 10. So you were either going to go to Vietnam or you could enlist in another branch of the military. So I enlisted in the Air Force, had spent 4 years instead of 2 years in the military, and they sent me to California. So this is okay. How I got to California. And then I served 4 years as a military medic. And in that period, it's near the end of the Vietnam War. And during the end of that, during that time, I learned a great deal about collaborating and working with other people and understanding how to get people to work together, which is kind of strange because people say, well, in the military, they just tell you what to do and you just do it. And I said, well, no, that's not the case. I was very young, 21 years old. I come back from overseas and a colonel at the hospital said, Frank, I want you to run the pediatric clinic. Now, I didn't have the rank at that time to do that. And I said, well, sir, doesn't that belong to a higher rank? And he says, well, I want you to do it. Okay. And then when you talk to military people, you have to say with all due respect. And so I said, well, with all due respect, sir, does no one else want the job? I said, exactly. You have 90 sick children a day. And he says, and you have no staff. And I went, oh, good. So he said, what I'm going to do is set up a meeting with the Red Cross, and we're going to meet with the Red Cross, and we're going to tell them what we're trying to do. And then they'll bring volunteers to you. And I said, okay. And he says, now here's your challenge. I was a sergeant at the time. Here's your challenge.
If that wasn't a challenge enough, now
here. Yes, if that wasn't a big enough challenge. He says, here's your challenge. These are volunteers. They don't have to show up. They don't have to give you a reason. Wow. You have to convince them that this is the right place to be and explain why we're doing what we're doing, how what we do, and then how you're going to help them. So I said, okay, 21 years old, let's give it a shot. So we give it a try. And we put this program in place, and we all helped each other. And by the end of 6 months, we had a waiting list of people, of Red Cross volunteers who wanted to work in the pediatric clinic.
Wow.
So that little episode there helped me when I got out of the military and went back and finished school. And I went into the high tech and was bidding on trying to win multi-million dollar deals. Well, the company I worked for, all they made was equipment. So they didn't have a solution. So learning how to that collaboration became very important, because now I had to meet with database people and network people and, so, and all these different software people to put a consortium together to go after the bid. Now, these people didn't know each other, but I had convinced them that if we work together, we have an opportunity to win this particular project. And we had a great deal of success doing that. So it was finding people who are better. I learned this a long time ago. Finding people who are better than I am in their area of expertise, and then bringing them in and giving them the ability to do their job. Steve Jobs said, "Why are you hiring smart people and telling them what to do?" Right?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a principle that helped me when I ran my award-winning school. I would look for people who were better at me than me at whatever their role. My role was to give help, share the vision and get them to feel that they belonged and that they wanted to give the most excellent education that they could to the children in their care. And so the principles are the same. And I've learned over the years, the principles are the same. Whatever the business is, whatever the widgets are, that doesn't matter. It's the people that matter.
Exactly. It's exactly right. When I left the big high tech, the Fortune 50 world,
yeah,
and I did turnarounds of failing companies or companies who are struggling. I call it course correction. Now the term they like is pivot, which I don't like that term.
Well, you know, if you pivot often enough, you end up back where you started.
Exactly. You just keep going.
Around in circles. Yeah.
Exactly. So that was interesting, because that's where you had to use all the skill that you had learned to deal with organizations that are floundering. And the first step, Gina, that I found was to meet with everybody and to tell me the good, the bad, and the ugly. What's going on here? Okay, well, the bad and the ugly come out just like that. And then we always ask, okay, if you had the power to do one thing to make this better, what would it be? And they would look shocked. And I said, I've been here 15 seconds. You've been here 5 years.
Yeah.
What do you think? And then they would tell me, and I'd say, okay, that's good. Do it. You be responsible for it. And there was a shock.
I bet.
And I said, well, let's go through it. And we'll monitor it and we'll see how it's moving. And then we'll make adjustments necessary. So that was amazing. I loved doing that. And we did, I don't know how many of those course corrections, maybe 5 or 6 different companies. And it was great. My wife left. My then wife left. And I had custody of my 2 young daughters. And I couldn't travel anymore. So I took over an insurance agency, moved back to California. I was up in Seattle at the time. And same thing. I couldn't even spell insurance. And the only thing I knew about insurance is I hated paying for it, right? I just hated paying for it.
Yeah.
So again, let's get people in who can do this and then be the, just guide them. Okay, here's the boundaries that we need to stay within. Okay, let's go out and do this. And it became a very, very, very profitable entity. And then when my youngest daughter graduated from college, that was it. I didn't want to do that, but it was something to get me to the point where she was out of school, because I had to get these 2 children graduate through school and gainfully employed. So when that happened, I sold the company. And then now what do I do when I grow up? And I started going back to writing books again. And then it got very interesting, because we put together the Business Secrets series. And there's 3 books in the series. The 4th one's coming out in March. And they were Business Secrets for Walking on Water. And that was things that you don't see that can come up and take your legs out in the business world. Things you don't expect, things you weren't prepared for, that type of thing. So then that book came out at the bestseller. Yay. First one. And then we did Business Secrets for avoiding personal and professional landmines, because people would say, I'm doing good professionally, but my personal life just terrible.
It wrecked. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And I said, well, yeah, that's my life story. So we wrote a book about that, how to avoid these personal landmines and say what you mean. And then after the second book got the bestseller, the feedback was, well, Frank, we think we got a professional life in order and our personal life's doing pretty good. And hence the third book was Secrets for Getting Unstuck. And everybody gets stuck. Go ahead.
Everybody does. And there's so much I want to talk to you about, but we've got to go for a short break now. When we come back, one of the things that I'd like to explore with you is this business of personal life, professional life, spiritual life, because so often people get success and think, what now? And how to be able to deal with that, because we're the common denominator that we take into every moment of our life. So it's very interesting how we often separate those things out. So please don't go away. Frank and I are going to be exploring this incredibly powerful question when we get back.
For every generation, it has started with the call to serve. Discovering the purpose and the belonging earned with the title. Learning to dig deep and push through adversity together. Defending our nation and its people. It is a life of great worth and reward. But Marines are never really finished serving. Their commitment comes full circle, visible in communities across our country. This is Semper Fidelis, always faithful, always Marine, marking a path for the next generation.
So, what is love?
Love is being independent.
Love is dancing.
At Shriners Hospital for Children, love is a new smile.
At Shriners Hospitals for Children, love is caring for a child regardless of the family's ability to pay. If you know a child we can help, visit ShrinersHospitalsForChildren.org.
Welcome back. So Frank, you are the common denominator in your life and I am in mine. We are professionals, we are individuals, people, we're also members of a family, members of a community. What for you are the key things when you wrote those books about getting unstuck? What are for you are the key principles that make the difference?
The key thing, Gina, is between your ears. More times than not, we're stuck because of thoughts,
yep,
because of past patterns or unconscious biases that we've just created throughout our lifetime. And when we're stuck, a lot of it is I'm unwilling to change, or I'm unwilling to consider another option or an alternative. So what happens is you keep making the same mistake over and over and over and over, and then wondering, why is my life terrible? Well, your life is terrible because you keep following the same pattern over and over and over. And until you either get help or you find in your mind that I'm going to become more of an open mindset and I'm going to be listening, I mean, really listening to what is being said to me, and to try and take action. If I'm unhappy with where I am, then I have to make the change, because nothing changes until we change.
Yeah.
And in the book, Getting Unstuck, we talk about getting stuck is inevitable. You are going to get stuck.
It's the human condition, isn't it?
Exactly. Now, staying stuck, that's a choice.
Absolutely. And
that's where we put that whole book together. And then we started going into where you could be stuck at work.
Yep.
And in your professional life, and maybe you're getting paid a lot of money and you don't want to leave, or it's too hard to find another job, or you don't have the confidence or the self-esteem to go after something else. Or maybe you're stuck because it's a placeholder. Like in my case, I don't like what I'm doing in the insurance world, but I've got custody of two young daughters and I got to get them through. But when I hit that point, then I'm moving on. And that kept my sanity.
Yes.
Other places we get stuck a great deal in, it's in relationships.
Yes.
Personal relationships. Are you together because it's convenient? Are you there because it's too difficult to do something different, or you just simply became comfortable and you're going through the motions and you're not talking And that was a big thing, is the communication. And communication means so many different things. So I like to break it down to dialogue. Are we having dialogue where we're actually interacting with each other? And so many cases.
Can I just stop you there? Because I think that distinction is so important. You dialogue and meaningful dialogue, not about who's put the rubbish out or do you want a cup of tea, but actually getting to the meat of, you know, what it is that you're feeling and why, and how you are interacting as a couple. And that's true not only for personal relationships, is it? It's true for every relationship.
It's everywhere, and it comes down to we talk about dialogue openers and dialogue closers. So if you're talking and a dialogue closer is, well, don't tell me about that. I don't want to hear about that. Or we tried that before. Or this just doesn't work. Or I'm not interested in this. Okay. And then you say, well, what we never talk. We say, well, that's why you never talk, because you're shutting down the access point.
Yeah.
But if it's dialogue openers, things like, well, tell me more about that. Okay, I don't think I understand. What do you mean with this area? Or how would this make make an improvement? And those are dialogue openers. And what I learned, again, back in the military, because military always says it's the mission. Everything's about the mission. Mm-hmm. And I learned, no, it's not. Everything is about the trust and respect that you build with the people who are in that mission with you. And that comes over into your personal life and into your professional life and into everything else. If you don't have trust and you don't have respect, it doesn't matter what you're trying to do, it's going to fail.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. And interestingly, as you were using those words, you know, I don't understand, talk to me. What struck me is the tone of your voice was very even. It was an invitation to talk. And I think there are some people who actually use the words, but in a way that makes them a dialogue closer. So tell me.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, the very opposite is true. And I think that people listening to this, taking on board, it's not just the words that you speak, but it's how and when you speak them and your body language as you are delivering them. And for me, being open to then having invited the dialogue, to be ready to actively listen and listen attentively.
That's exactly right. And as people, as they want to become leaders, if they want to become leaders, we've seen the pounding on the desk guy that yells, and they're dinosaurs, and hopefully most of them are going to be gone. And I did an interview with Dr. Edward Hess out of the Darden School in Virginia, and he told me, manager, the term, we need to change it to facilitators or enablers.
Yeah.
Managers need to be enablers, because the old model was, I know more than you.
Yes.
Therefore, I have a higher job than you and I'm more important than you. Okay, well, that's impossible to know more than everybody anymore, because there's too much data coming at us all the time.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So my job now as an enabler is to get people in the best possible position to be successful, and I have to take input from them. And this collaborative way of working is what the future is going to be, because the rote jobs, I do A, then B, then C, that's technology is going to take those over.
Yes.
It's just going to happen. So now it's going to be critical thinking, and it's going to be able to problem solve, and it's going to be able to think, that I hate the term, think outside the box, but that's the case. Okay, we need a solution to this issue. How are we going to get there? What are the steps we need to take collectively to do that? And you have to build this culture where there's trust and respect, so people feel safe in saying something that might be controversial, or saying something that isn't with a popular trend, so to speak, right? I've sat in with executives, Gina, and the leader gets up there and they just talk. In this meeting. Okay, everybody got that? Good, let's go. And they move out. And he says, see, Frank, I don't have a problem here. Nobody objected. Nobody said anything. I said, you didn't give them an opportunity to say anything. You were just giving mandates.
One of the things that has really struck me in working with the businesses that I work with, and all of them have become much more profitable within about 9 months of starting work with them. But that's come because they have learned to create a learning culture where you can learn from the most junior person within the company, as well as the most senior, where everybody takes radical responsibility for their own performance and a shared responsibility for the team. Exactly. And when you have that open, collaborative, learning culture, then sometimes the idea that comes from the apprentice who's just come in and says something which is completely off the wall, but triggers an idea that then says, well, there's something in that. Let's play with that. And I use the word play very deliberately, yes. That something great comes out of a chance remark. It doesn't have to be the apprentice. It could be somebody who's really senior who says, you know, I've just had this off-the-wall idea. Let's explore it.
That's a perfect point, Gina. What I found when I say all the time is that culture comes top-down.
Yes.
Innovation comes bottom-up.
Yeah.
The people closest to the solution are the ones who can often see in the boardroom. They don't have a clue what's going on most of the time. But they create the environment. Right. And if you create a toxic environment, you're going to get toxic. You're not going to get any input. And then it's being open to course correct in your own life or your own profession also. And that's one of the things that had happened with me just recently was we had the three books all became bestsellers. And a person I'm working with had some books that became bestsellers. And all of a sudden people were coming to us saying, you guys understand something we don't know. We're writing this book. We think it's good. It's not going anywhere. We're not getting any traction out of it. What are you doing? Can you help us?
Yeah.
And so we started a program called Trust the Process, which now we work with authors who have a book. We say, here's how we can market and promote that book. And here's the plan. We get very, very detailed statement of work. We're going to do this. You're going to do that. And at the end of the day, we can get you as best as we can be. We'll get you the best possible solution. And now we've had 8 consecutive titles that have gone to number one, best-selling new release in multiple categories.
Brilliant.
And 2 of the books won awards. And we thought none of us were going down that path in the beginning. Yeah. It just was, it's keeping your mind open, not getting stuck and saying, wow, here's an opportunity. Maybe I should go through this door instead of keep beating my head against this wall.
Brilliant. We've got to go for another break, but please don't go away. There's so much more to come in the last part of the show.
Arrive with a perspective and leave with a new one. Those who know Hotel Indigo know there's so much more to be discovered. Hotel Indigo, part of IHG Hotels and Resorts. 18 hotel brands, 6,000 global destinations, 1 loyalty program.
Hi, we're the Oak Ridge Boys.
Scammers steal billions of dollars from unsuspecting people every year.
We are working with AARP's Fraud Watch Network and the Department of Justice to keep you from being a victim of fraud.
They have vital information for you.
They will help you get in touch with folks that fight fraud every day.
Go to aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork.
Take a step toward bringing our country and community together. Start a meaningful conversation at lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep. A message from StoryCorps, Love Has No Labels, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We're talking about getting unstuck, and Frank was just sharing that serendipitously, what a wonderful word, he's now working with authors to help them get the word out there and to help them create a successful publication. Frank, do you have a dream? Do you know, you know, are there things that you feel that you want to do that you haven't yet done?
I try to keep very open. Because I had bucket lists before and I had all these things that I'm checking them off. And then one of the things I discovered in talking to an author, in fact, she said, Frank, think of it this way. You've been following a linear model. I'm going to go here, then I'm going to go here, and then I'm going to go here. And she said, it's a cyclical model. I'm doing A now, and this is the process of doing A. Now I'm decided, well, I'd rather do B. There's an opportunity open. So then you go through that cyclical model. And you may go through multiple cycles throughout the course of your life, as opposed to, I'm trying to go this way, and then hit a bump in the road. Well, now what? A lot of people don't know how to do a course correction. This is all I know. This is what I do. This is who I am.
Yeah.
And the terms that make me nuts, Gina, this make me nuts, are best practice.
Mm-hmm.
We've always done it this way. It is what it is. And that's just the way I am. When I hear those four terms, I'm thinking, you've given up.
People are closing the door, aren't they? Closing the door on possibility. And I think, you know, we've all come across those people who have made a conscious or unconscious decision that they are going to not recognize that they are card-carrying students of life, and that the only failure is the failure to give it a go, or the failure to learn from that experience. Mm-hmm. And those phrases, they're not only closing the door, but they're bolting it and locking it.
Exactly.
Rather than saying, well, I've tried it before, but not at this time and not with these people. I'm going to give it a go. What's the mm-hmm. worst that can happen?
Exactly.
And so often when we allow ourselves to be open and to give things a try, amazing things happen. You know, I look at my life and think how often, well, doing this radio show for a start came from a series of serendipitous and coincidental opportunities, and I could have ignored them, but here we are talking, and
Yes. Here
you are as listeners listening. So how often are you, the listener, closing the door on opportunities and possibilities because you've got into that groove of saying yeah but or
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. My friend Joe Weston, who we're working with him now, and he had a term that I love, Gina. He said, we're in a world of absolutisms.
We are indeed.
Don't you think
people are living from a place of fear, and I think we live in a world where fear is so generated by media, social media, and so on, and that sense of lack, that many people batten down the hatch and say, I'm going to stay within my very small world and I'm not going to move out of it, because then I have the illusion of being safe, because it is only an illusion, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. And fear stops so much progress. And it's keeping your mind open. If you're only looking for information to validate your opinion or your thoughts or your processes, and social media is a master at that, and in the United States, at least, we have TV shows, and this one only gives you this viewpoint, and this one only gives you this viewpoint, and there's nothing that's coming together to say, look, we're all in this together. And there is so much more that unites us than what divides us in every aspect of life.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's opening up. It's having these conversations that Joe Weston calls confrontational conversations without the confrontation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, I'm very conscious of time. We've only got a couple of minutes. But the difference between confrontation and confronting the issue. Confronting the issue is facing it and looking forward. Being confrontational, for me, there is no place for that.
Yes.
But there is a huge place for confronting the issue.
Exactly.
I've got to confront the issue, the fact that we've got very little time left. So where can people find you, Frank?
I'm easy to find. My website is frankzaccari.com, www.frankzaccari.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. I am easy to find.
So, Frank, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you, the listeners, for joining us. Please spread the word. I'd love to know how you're getting on. Let us know by email me at gina@genuinely-u.com. And please do go and subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is Genuinely You with Gina Gardner. Thank you so much. You take care. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening to Gina Gardner and Friends, the show that helps you live a happier, more successful, and fulfilling life. To learn more about Gina Gardner, go to genuinely-you.com. If you would like to work with Gina or book her as a speaker, email her at gina@genuinely-you.com.